tell your kids how things were and then they would get it. You just tell them. You want them to benefit from your years of experience and your years of wisdom on this Vale of Tears, otherwise known as the third rock from the sun, and yet they have to go through everything themselves. And if only they could just stand on your shoulders, pick up where you left off, in that case, we would have a super race, wouldn't we? We would have a race of human beings, the last ones better than the previous ones. Each generation would be more brilliant and more scholarly, more learned of God. And yet, in the wisdom of God, this is not the way it works. Rather, we find out that we all have to learn things as we go. We're repeating the same mistakes our fathers and our mothers made, our forefathers and our foremothers. Most people leave out the foremothers. I don't like to do this. I recognize the foremothers today, Tuesday, here on a Zender Special 312. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender, again, flying under the radar here at Broward College in beautiful Davie, Florida. I like Daniel. I like this guy. I would have liked to have known these prophets. I would have liked to have been with John as he sat on the island of Patmos. I have a thought about John on Patmos for you. Most people think he was exiled there by Nero, and he was sent there because he was a bad boy and just wouldn't behave himself in Jerusalem. So they sent the old man to an island. What if God sent him to the island? I think we're assuming he was sent there by a rogue politician, such as Nero. I say maybe God sent him there so that he could have peace and quiet, and so he could get to a distant corner of that island and see the future, be transported, whether in body or in spirit. Now, he said, in spirit, I came to be in the Lord's day. I like that. He was exiled by God. I feel like an exile. Not that this college hasn't been pleasant to me, but we're all exiles in a sense. Daniel, same thing. This guy was literally exiled. Wow, I just noticed. I just now made this connection. Just now as I'm talking. Exile. Daniel was taken to Babylon with his countrymen. And John was taken to Patmos. And there they saw visions. And they recorded what they saw because, again, God's preferred means of revelation is the written word. It endures. And so while these men are in the most unlikely of places, oh, I just had something else hit me. Wow. Like a lightning bolt. Paul was exiled to a Roman prison. All right, here we go. This is something. Oh, I just had another guy come into mind, John the Baptist. But let's stick with Paul. Paul's exiled to a Roman prison, the least likely place the celebrated saint we know today, named Paul, would be. And yet in prison, he writes his prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, the highest revelation given to humanity. While he's on the island of Patmos, John doesn't see a movie of the future. No, my friends, he didn't see a movie. The Apostle John was taken to the future. You understand the difference? He was taken to the future. That's a real time game, Martin. Well, God can do it because he set forth, spoke into being the end from the beginning. And Daniel, taken in handcuffs to Babylon, an exile, a prisoner of war. He proves himself wise because he willingly goes. Now, I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to willingly go into exile. You know, later this week, I should go into God's instructions to Israel during the time of the Babylonian captivity, during which time Daniel wrote and saw visions. I should go to those passages to show you how God wanted Israel to behave under the influence of a foreign power. She never could quite get the hang of it because she was a warring nation. She was a fiercely independent, fiercely prideful, proud nation. And we are too. And as individuals, we are. We don't like to be under another's jurisdiction. This is where the God consciousness I mentioned to you at the beginning of this series comes in handy. Don't you think God consciousness helped Daniel as he's being taken to Babylon in chains? Now, maybe when God sent John to Patmos, he did it via a rogue politician. He very well could have. But don't you think his God consciousness helped him? When Peter, James, and John are being taken into the inner corridors, inner chambers of the temple to be beaten by the rogue priesthood, don't you think a God consciousness helped them? Don't you think this information we're sharing together today will help you? That the world's not out of control, that God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. And then even King Nebuchadnezzar said something in Daniel 4:35 that not even Christians today can say, that God gives jurisdiction of the world in its various departments, whether the premier of Russia or the imams, the priests, the presidents, the prime ministers, he puts them where he wants them, and no one can stay his hand. Don't you think that's comforting to know when you're in the middle of it? And don't you think that would be a sheen of protection for you mentally to know this? It's coming to a realization of the truth. Why does Paul always use that phrase? Because a realization of the truth protects you from your disagreeable environment. And we are in a disagreeable environment. But even there, even in exile, God is merciful. Because when Israel was in bondage in Egypt, and when they were delivered out of Egypt, they looked back fondly at the time when they had plenty to eat and they had a regular place to sleep. So it wasn't all that bad in Egypt. Forget the movies. Forget the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston and Vincent Price. And Israel and Babylon, they could plant, could sow, they could reap, reproduce. They were still having sex in Babylon. Sex in Babylon. Wow, I think I'm going to write a novel with that title. It's a good movie, too. Maybe I'll just jump right to the screenplay. And I'm thinking John on Patmos. I'm thinking that he was on an island. I haven't been there. I had an opportunity to go there in October. As you know, I turned it down. 21-day cruise. I said, nah. All expenses paid. Nah. Free alcohol. No. No, thanks. I have a feeling he had the pick of fruits. I'm thinking it wasn't so bad. So even in exile, even under a bad administration of government, many of us still have homes, we have phones, we have televisions, we have entertainment, we have refrigerators. We can keep our food cold. We should be thankful that even as we prepare for the showdown of good and evil that will end this eon, we still have Cocoa Pebbles. Isn't that amazing? The showdown between Israel and the nations coming close, the inauguration of the kingdom, the birth pangs of Israel, and we're eating Cocoa Pebbles and drinking beer and wine and going out to Chili's and Applebee's. Blowing my mind, in the final days of the most wicked eon that ever existed, that crucified the Son of God, that killed the prophets, we have an Applebee's and we can eat grilled tilapia during this time period. I'm freaking out over this right now, to be honest with you. Refuge. I want to talk about refuge because, you know, one of the funnest things to do is to run for refuge in a storm. You're in the rain and it's pouring down on you and you see a dry area and you're running and you get underneath it, under an awning or something. You're standing under an awning and the awning's right above your head. And you feel so good and so cozy. You wouldn't feel that except for the powers that be, whether they're meteorological powers or political powers that push you toward that refuge. God wants to be our only refuge. He's the refuge of Daniel. He's the refuge of John, the refuge of Paul, and he's ours as well. And he wants to be our only one. And the only reason that can happen is if we have the forces pushing us toward that refuge, that every other refuge has to fail. You must become disappointed with every other form of comfort, ultimately disappointed. This is a secret I'm giving you, secrets in Daniel, why everything disappoints you. Everything you think is going to be wonderful. If I just had this job, if I just had this woman, if I just had this man, if I just won the lottery. Everything disappoints eventually, doesn't it? Because these things are not our ultimate refuge. They're a picture. They're a type of the ultimate refuge. But they will all, every one of them, disappoint you. And I don't want you to be surprised about this. You don't need to be surprised when you know the truth that they are failing by design. They're to disappoint you by design. And God is not allowing these things. He's causing these. Let me start with this tomorrow. I'm hearing it even among our own people. My people are speaking this way, and I'm disappointed in them, that God allows certain things to happen. God does not allow things. Only relatively can we even say that he does. But God is ultimately causing these things. He's putting political powers where they need to be. Let's look at Daniel 4:35 tomorrow as well, if I remember. Try to remind me. And we're going to see that we have no reason to fuss, fume, or fret, or any other word that begins with F, unless it's a pleasant one. Let me just leave you with that thought. Think on these things. I'll be back tomorrow.